United States.
Organized labor. Will unions sweep the South? The UAW won big at Volkswagen in Tennessee, but organizing at other car plants is harder.
Last July, car parts as heavy as a small horse fell on Renee Barry. Three surgeries later, she has metal rods, bolts, and screws up her arms and cannot lift her 2-year-old grandchild. In her 14 years working on the assembly line at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, she found the factory floor to be disorganized and unsafe. Eventually, she joined a union drive to persuade her colleagues to take action. When workers voted in late April to make Volkswagen the first foreign car maker in the South to unionize, Ms. Barry fell to the floor in joy, raised her hands and called out, "Thank you, Lord, you heard our cry." The United Auto Workers, or UAW, union hopes that Volkswagen victory will set off a domino effect across the Sun Belt, a region that has long been hostile to labor organizers. But was the win a fluke or a bellwether? That question will soon be tested. Next week, 6,100 workers at the Mercedes-Benz plant in Vance, Alabama, are due to vote on whether to unionize. There, things look less favorable for the UAW. In the 1980s, car makers began moving from the Midwest to the South, where regulation was sparse and states offered vast subsidies to newcomers. With the rise of globalization, Southern politicians made the region competitive by keeping unions out and holding wages down. Right-to-work laws, which let workers opt out of paying union dues, bolstered the strategy. As car makers from overseas set up factories in towns with more churches than traffic lights, assembly lines at Detroit's Big Three, General Motors, Ford, and what was once Chrysler, slimmed down. Today, 30% of America's automotive jobs are south of the Mason-Dixon line. Down south, foreign firms honed what Stefan Sylvia, author of the UAW's Southern Gamble, calls America's Union Avoidance Playbook. They put factories in places where workers lived far from each other, used questionnaires to screen out prospective hires sympathetic to organizing, asking if they played school sports or served in the army to gauge their obedience to authority, for example, showed anti-union clips on break room televisions, and cozied up to pastors and mayors by donating to town fundraisers. For years, that worked. The UAW's Bible Belt efforts failed repeatedly at Nissan, Toyota, Mercedes, and Volkswagen. Three things set the stage for this year's pivot. The first was a revamp of the UAW. After years of falling membership, the union's organizing muscles had atrophied by the time Sean Fain was elected president in March 2023. But once in office, he sprang into action. By November, strikes at the Big Three had led to record pay rises for hundreds of thousands of workers. Those left out of the deals looked on with new appreciation for what the union could do, and the union set its sights on tougher targets. The second factor was Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, his administration's flagship climate bill, which so far has spurred $123 billion of investments in green manufacturing. Nowhere is benefiting more than the Southeast, where over 100 projects have been announced. Mercedes is building a battery plant near Vance, and Volkswagen has made Chattanooga its new electric vehicle hub. More money and more jobs make it harder for the companies to leave, says Michael Gilliland, who worked on the Volkswagen union campaign. The flow of federal funds also makes firms less beholden to conservative state politicians. Attention from Europe was the third catalyst for change. The president of Volkswagen's German Works Council, an employee group that works closely with management, urged workers in Chattanooga to unionize and reassured them that this would not put their jobs at risk. A new German law that punishes union busting with fines of up to 2% of revenue could make corporate bosses in the South think twice about waging their usual war on organizers. In April, the UAW filed a complaint to Germany's export control agency, alleging that Mercedes's actions in Vance had violated it. Though organizers at European firms may benefit from allies abroad, those at Asian ones like Hyundai, Kia, Nissan, and Toyota may not. Will the UAW's success in Chattanooga prove contagious? Opponents of unionization are determined to prevent that. On April 16th, six southern governors published a letter warning of the ugly reality that unions put jobs in jeopardy and that the UAW cares more about helping President Biden get re-elected than about workers. 1 week later, Georgia passed a bill barring union-friendly firms from state tax relief. And Kay Ivey, Alabama's governor, instructed Mercedes in no uncertain terms to fix the problems that sparked the organizing. The company quickly replaced its American boss. Before voting begins, supervisors in Vance are inundating workers with messages about the risks of unionizing and pulling those they deem persuadable aside for one-on-one chats. Whereas Volkswagen mostly stayed mum, organizers say Mercedes is 100% in anti-union mode. Its pushback resembles a campaign Nissan ran in 2017, which fended off a years-long UAW effort in Canton, Mississippi. Still, Jeremy Kimbrell, who has worked at Mercedes since 2000, is bullish. He reckons his colleagues at the luxury carmaker's highly profitable plant are finally fed up with what he calls the Alabama discount. "Why do we get paid less?" Mr. Kimbrell asks. "Because we're those dumb hicks down in Alabama," he answers. "They came down here because we do the same work for less and won't put up no fight. No longer. Regardless of who wins next week, Southern organizers will fight on."